Okay, good afternoon, everybody, or evening in Eretz Yisrael. Today's topic is also related to the Parshas HaShavua, and I decided to do it when I was listening to an old Parsha Shir from Rav Schechter, and he spent a couple of minutes discussing this topic, and he took a certain approach to it, and it's not the approach that all poskim take. And the topic we're going to talk about is lab-grown meat. There is a movement to figure out how to produce a lot of meat without having to kill an animal. So they use stem cells and they grow it in a culture and create a lot of meat. This was first a method that was done successfully in 2013. This is not the same as the Impossible Burger, or I can't believe it's not meat, or whatever, something like that, which is in fact not meat. You know, if you just make meat out of soy or some other vegetable products or any other products, that's not the same as lab grown meat is actually meat. It's actually meat. It's just produced differently, and it has significant advantages to it. I mean, obviously the biggest disadvantage is that right now it's still extremely expensive, but ultimately it's going to be much, much cheaper, the thinking goes. So the advantages are less greenhouse gas emissions, less land needed because you don't have to raise animals for it, less energy needed, no cruelty to animals, probably, maybe now is not healthier, but probably will be healthier one day when they really perfect the process than regular meat. But there are lots of halachic issues that come with this. Is it fleishig? If you take it from a kosher animal, is the meat, if you take it from a non-kosher animal rather, is the meat kosher? You take a cell from a non-kosher animal and you build it into meat. So is the meat kosher? If it's taken from a live animal, is it Eiver Min HaChai? Would it be a problem to have cheese on such meat? Is it like a Maris Hayin issue with the cheeseburger? So the trick is coming up with parallel cases in Chazal. Like, where do you ever have such a thing? So in Yerudei Chelek Aleph, there are Ha'aros from Shlomo Levilna. And in Cheshek Shlomo, the Ha'aros from Shlomo Levilna, in the Shach, in Yerudei, Simon Sadiches, Sivkat and Zayin, he quotes a Malbim on this week's Parsha. Bereshis Parak Yudches, Pasuk Zayin. The Medrash tells us that Avraham Avinu gave the Malachim Basar B'chalav. So the Pashtus is that even though it was meat and dairy in the same meal, it's not Basar B'chalav Midar Raisa. But the Medrash says that Kiyim Avraham Avinu Kalatar Kula Afilu Reuven Tchumini, even fulfilled the Dinim D'Rabbanan. Avraham Avinu kept everything. So how could he have given them even Basar B'chalav Midar Rabbanan? So the Malbim writes, Gevaldik Kachinish. He says, look at the Pasuk. The Pasuk describes the meat as Ben HaBakar Asher Asa Avraham. What does Asa mean? Hechin Avraham, Tikein Avraham, Bishal Avraham, Shachat Avraham. Asa? What's Asa Avram? Says the Malbim, Sha'asa'o al yedei Sefer Yetzirah. That he created the animal using Sefer Yetzirah. Just like the Gemara says, the Amorayim were able to make an Egel Tilta with Sefer Yetzirah. So Avram Avinu had no less capability than the holy Amorayim, and therefore he must have also Asa. He actually made this meat with the Sefer Yetzirah. So says Rosh Hashanah Vilna, that's why, says the Malbim rather, that's why he was allowed to have Bas B'chalav, because it wasn't real meat. It was Sefer Yetzirah meat. So says Rosh Hashanah Vilna, if you except what the Malbim says, L'chora, the same would apply, well, Rosh Hashanah Vilna doesn't make this connection, but Rosh Hashanah makes this connection, lab-grown meat. That lab-grown meat is no different than Sefer Yetzirah-grown meat, and therefore it's not fleishik. It's analogous to making the Sefer Yetzirah. The most it would be is fleishik midrabanan. Cheshek Shlomo uses this to answer the Plesis Kasha on the Gemara in Becharos Davav. Why didn't the Gemara quote Avraham Avinu serving milk to the Malachim as a raya that milk is not Eiver Min HaChai? But according to this, the milk he served may not have been milk either, because he probably just milked the animal that he made with Sefer Yetzirah. So none of it was milk and none of it was meat, and therefore he can't bring any rayas to anything as far as Basar B'chalav. Similar discussion you have with Golem, Rav Schechter pointed out, that the Gemara tells us that Rava bara Gavra, and the Golem did some work, and then Rava killed the Golem. So the Chacham Tzvi writes that he had heard that his mother's father was a Baal Shem, and his mother's father, his grandfather, created a Golem, and then he killed it. So the Chacham Tzvi is quoted by the Berheitiv, Nor Chaim, Simon and Hay. By the way, that Chacham Tzvi is one of the rayas that Professor Lyman brings, that the Maharal Niprag did not create a Golem, because the Chacham Tzvi is going to talk about a famous Golem, and he never heard of the Maharal's Golem. He's only quoting about his grandfather's Golem. He should have heard about the Maharal's Golem also. He doesn't make any mention of it. But anyway, as Professor Lyman says, the question is not whether the Maharal could have made a Golem. It's whether the Maharal indeed made a Golem. You know, but we do have records of these great people that made a Golem. They made these human-like figures. So the Chacham Tzvi is quoted by the Berhetiv and Orchaim Simon and Hay discussing whether a Golem counts toward a minion. So he writes that the Gemara Sanhedrin says, that when you teach someone else's child Torah, it's as if they're your child. So maybe the Golem is Jewish, because if you raise him properly and you teach him properly, so now it's Kila Yelado, he's a Jew. So Rav Shechter said, that is ridiculous. If I adopt a guy and I teach him Torah, that automatically makes him Jewish? No, we do a whole Giyur for that. Chazanish says about the Chacham Tzvi that Lechor, of course he does not count toward a minion. He's not even a human being. And that's why they were allowed to kill him, because he's not even human. We assume a human being is someone born from a man and a woman, and therefore and meat is meat that's born in the normal way. That's an animal that's born from a mother and a father. If the meat is grown in a lab, it's not meat. And if a human being is made by Sefer Yetzira, then it's not a human being. If you just create, and therefore if Shechtu thought la'alacha, if they come up with a way to not just have one woman's egg implanted into another woman and have a gestational mother and a genetic mother. Imagine they take a woman's egg and they fertilize it outside of her body, and the baby grows in an incubator the whole time. It could be that baby would not be human. It would be like part of meat. It would be the same as Sefer Yetzira. Wow, there are ramifications that are stunning. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, another potential Maramakam, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Samach Zayin, says Rabbi Chanina Rabbi Oshia made an egel tilta. So the Shlach Kadosh says that when Yosef told on his brother he was eating Eivor Menachai, it was really Sefer Yetzira. So it wasn't real meat, it wasn't real Eivor Menachai, because it was something that was created from Sefer Yetzira. In fact, the Chafetz Chaim in Shmir Saloshon, Chelik Beis, Parak Yud Aleph, assumes that that's the pashat in the story, that it was Sefer Yetzira and that Yosef was telling Lashon Hara and they didn't really do anything wrong. The Shlach Kadosh also assumes that something made synthetically doesn't have the status of the item that you made. And the Pesachim Tshuva in Yerideya, Simon Samachwe, Sivkat and Beis quotes the Shlach Kadosh and then adds, V'nire, demikal makam, asalach lebelo shchita midrabbanam, mishamaris ha'ayin. That would at least be a maris ha'ayin issue if you have this live thing that you created with Sefer Yetzira to eat it without shchita. So that comes up when discussing the Chanukah miracle as well. Beis Yosef asked the famous Kasha, why do I have 8 days of Chanukah if there are only 7 days of miracles? So one of his answers is that the oil burnt out on the first night, and after that was all Shemen Shalnes. So you quote Reb Chaim that it can't be that the oil miraculously regenerated, because then it's not Shemen Zayis, it's Shemen Shalnes, and it's not kosher. So the Gar Rebbe suggests that if it were Yesh Me Ayin, it would not be Shemen Zayis. But if it miraculously generated from a drop of oil, then it would still be oil. So it all depends how the miracle happened. If the miracle came Yesh Me Ayin, then it's not Shemen Zayis. Then Reb Chaim's point is well taken. It wouldn't be Shemen Zayis Bichlal. So there are some rayas, though, that miraculously generated things are in fact that thing. Meaning, as much as Rav Shechter suggested absolutely not, that a miraculously generated human is not a human, a miraculously generated meat is not meat, there are some rayas in the other direction. For example, the Gemara Menachas Taf Samach Tesam Beis discusses wheat that falls from the clouds being used for a Korban Mincha. So Rashi describes, how does wheat fall from the clouds? That doesn't normally happen. So he describes some sort of natural event that occurs that somehow the wheat got caught up in the cloud, out of something that sounds like it's a natural event. Rabbeinu Tam assumes, no, that wheat doesn't fall from the clouds. That's a miracle. And the Gemara Menachos is discussing the possibility of using it for Shtei Alechem. Elamai, what do you see? That even something that's created Al Yedei Neis, it's not wheat that grew from the ground, it's wheat that fell from the sky, it's wheat, and it can be used for Shtei Alechem. The grandchildren of Reb Chaim use that as a raya that Reb Chaim never said the Chiddush that's attributed to him about Chanukah. That there's no way that Reb Chaim said that Shemen Shalnes is not real Shemen, because it's enough in a Gemara that wheat that falls from the sky, according to Rabbeinu Tam, is real wheat. So there's no way Reb Chaim said that Chiddush. Another potential Gemara, the Gemara tells us that a beged sheneved b'klayim, we're at the end of Nida, and elsewhere in Shas, the mitzvos betelos loss of lavo. So the Ritva explains that they're going to come back in Tchias HaMesim with their clothing on. When we rise in Tchias HaMesim, it's going to be with their clothing on. So clearly that's a miracle, because their clothing shouldn't be there anymore. The clothing disappears. It decomposes over time together with the body. So it's miraculously generated clothing. And we say that you cannot bury a mace in Kalayim in Shatnes. You can bury a mace in Shatnes because you don't have to worry about the Shatnes. gluttonous because mitzvahs b'teilus asalava. Forget mitzvahs b'teilus asalava. When they rise again with their clothing, it's not tzemer, it's not pishtim, it's nace, it's clothing shel nace. Elamai, you see that if the clothing shel nace is tzemer pishtim and it looks like tzemer pishtim, then it's halachically tzemer pishtim. Unless you want to say that the reason the Gemara is suggesting is, what about the people that just died yesterday? What about the people that died the day before Tchias HaMesim? Oh, so for them, the clothing would not have decomposed, and that's the whole Raya of Mitzvahs Potel Sas Lavo. A third Maramakum, the Gemara in Brachos tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu instituted the first bracha of benching when they ate the mun. So Rav Yosef Engel points out that even though it was miraculously generated, apparently it had a din of lechem. You're allowed to bench on it, and you're allowed to say Birch Samazon on it. So then you get into the question of, is it really a miracle though? Meaning, are any of these even proper parallels, creating a gailam and all these, is that really a proper parallel to what they're doing? Lab-grown meat, they're harnessing the powers of science and the knowledge generated over many years to be able to do something totally b'derech hateva. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Nun Tesam Beis says that meat once fell min hashamayim to save Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta from an attack by wild animals, and the Gemara asks, Dover the meat that fell min hashamayim, is it kosher meat or not kosher meat? So the Gemara says, ain't dover tame yorei min hashamayim. Anything that comes from shamayim is kosher. So Miri asks, what about the bugs and the maggots that are spontaneously generated? That also comes min hashamayim. That's not kosher. So the Miri says, no, there's a difference between a miracle and that which is done with natural means. A donkey falling from the sky, that is miraculous. And even though it looks like a donkey, it's kosher. But the stem cell generated meat or the maggots that grow in vegetables or something, that is something that can be explained scientifically, and they assume spontaneous generation was scientific, but that's something that can be explained scientifically and it could be duplicated. So if you could duplicate the process and you could do it again, then it's a good raya that it's not really a miracle. So the question is also, what is the status of the cell? Normally microscopic things are not an entity in halacha. However, in Shuvas Mincha Shlomo Chel Beisim and Kuf, Rav Shlomo Zalman Rauch paskins that grafting plants on a microscopic level is a violation of Kalayim, because once that's the normal way to do that procedure, Hareza Chashiv Mamish Kinire Leinayim V'lodami Klalato Loim Shenim Nirim, that becomes Nirim Leinayim. Meaning you look at a vegetable, you don't see the microscopic bugs, and you wouldn't see it under the normal course of events. But when you're grafting vegetables with each other, the normal way to do it is under a microscope, and that therefore becomes the same as Nirim Leinayim, and therefore, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, it would turn out, at least according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, that even though they're using a tiny little cell of meat and it's not nirei leinayim, it's ke'ilu it's nirei leinayim, because that's the process. Also, the growth from the original cell cannot be mevatel the cell that was there before, because you don't say it's batel barov, that the growth is mevatel the original cell, because it's analogous to the Mishnah in Trumos and Perek Tes, Mishnah Vav, which says that if you plant a tevel seed, the growth is only kosher if the original seeds rot. However, when the original seed is still there, the entire growth is tevel. Perhaps it is a yotze min hatameh, though, which the Mishnah Maseches Bechoros in the first parak says is also tameh. That which comes out of something not kosher is also not kosher. So if I take a cell from a non-kosher animal, maybe that's also not kosher. But on the other hand, basar isn't really considered a yotze. It's considered the item itself. On the flip side, some things that are yotze, like hooves and horns, are not meat at all. So that's a tricky argument to make. So bottom line, how do we paskin? Is this lab-grown meat? Is it kosher? Is it not kosher? Is it fleishig? Is it milchig? So Rav Shachta said, it's pashim, not meat. It's like the baby that was never inside the mother. It's not a human. So it's not fleishig. It doesn't require a shechita. There's no, right? It's just regular kosher meat. Rav Aviner brings up a Baba Kama, a Gemara Baba Kama Daf Tzadi Vav Amud Beis, which says that if you steal a brick and then you grind it down into dirt and then you reconstitute the brick, you're kona with a kinyan geneva, and you only pay back the value because panim chadashos ba'olikan, so you don't have to return the actual dirt that you've made. So similarly, he says, the meat is taken from a cell which goes through such changes, so it's a panim chadashos. He's makel about gelatin for that very same reason. We tend to be machmir about gelatin. based on the tshuva, mostly from Rav Aaron Cutler, but other gedolim as well. But Rav Avi Ner is makel about gelatin, and he thinks that this meat, it's not nevela, it's not Eivor Min HaChai, and he argues that since stem cells taken are microscopic, they're halachically insignificant, right? Similar to the argument we suggested before, even though Rav Meisha has a famous discussion with the argument with the Brisker Rav about that, that they say the Brisker Rav wanted his tefillin measured with sophisticated microscopic measuring utensils, the ribua of the tefillin, to make sure that it's perfectly square. So Moshe writes in the Tshuva, mehechi tesi, that you have to do something like that. It's just whatever is nirei le'enayim. You don't have to look at things on a microscopic level. So we're machmir about gelatin. And the truth is, by the meat, it's hard to make the gelatin argument because it never really becomes inedible in the process. The main argument with the gelatin is that it's broken down and made not roi l'achila b'chlal before it's reconstituted. So it's not necessarily a clear parallel. So again, we're not there yet, but one day this is likely going to be something that we're going to have to take in a very serious manner. But again, Rav Shechter has already passed in the Shaili. He thinks that it does not have a din of meat and that it's not fleshigs. And Maris Ayin would depend on how popular it becomes. Very similar to what the Rama writes in Pei Zayin about Maris Ayin with non-dairy creamer. That we do have a Maris Ayin issue, if not for the Rabbanan, the fact that it's only Rabbanan, but potentially there's a Maris Ayin issue. Unless it becomes so popular, then the Maris Ayin issue will fall away, because everyone will know that that's what you're in fact drinking. Okay, have a great day, everybody.